Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. This is Michelle, the moderator of your call today. Welcome to the post-results conference call of AIA Engineering Limited. We have with us today the management team of AIA Engineering Limited. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session at that time. If you have a question, please press star and one. I would now like to turn the conference over to AIA Engineering Management Team. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, for the introduction. Very good evening to everyone. This is Kunal, and I also have Sanjay Bhai with me here. Pardon my voice today, and I think Sanjay Bhai will do most of the talking. But we are very happy to report probably one of our best quarters ever in this quarter with 78,500 tons sales over a production of 80,000 tons. And that's up from about 69,000 tons of sales second quarter last year, but also up from 68,000 tons sequentially from first quarter of this year. And, most of the pass-throughs, in terms of cost inflation have now been factored in into these numbers with a weighted average realization, for the quarter coming at about 167 rupees, So that's where a lot of this pass-through in terms of shipping costs, raw materials has now been baked in these numbers. And that has taken our numbers to 1,300 crores, 1,311.59 crores, and which is up from about 871 crores in the second quarter last year. I think the rest of the numbers are broadly in line. Raw material consumption, now has reduced from the second quarter last year, largely reflecting the pass-throughs that have come in. Our EBITDA is at 344 crores, which is about 25.9%, and profit after tax at 244.81 crores, up from 137.59 in the second quarter last year. I think just finishing off a few housekeeping numbers, export benefits, we get drawback, and that's reflected in the other operating income for the second quarter, largely in line and a little higher than first quarter, reflecting the higher export. Treasury income is about 29.72 crores, and then balances foreign exchange adjustments. The net other income in this year, in this quarter, at 32 crores, up from 20 in the first quarter this year, and 35 crores down from 35.72 in the second quarter last year. I think working capital has, is largely in line. Our debtor days, our inventory days look a little lower than before. We try to not add to inventory. We've liquidated it a bit, and higher revenue figures, from a tonnage standpoint, it's reduced a little, but because of the value of the goods, the number of days has reduced a bit. So, our inventory days are down from 84 to 75. I think our guidance would be closer to 78, 80. Going forward, and our receivable days are at about 64, but they will also be, will normalize around 70, 72. Mining has, most of the growth has in this quarter has come from mining. We did about 54,000 tons in this quarter, and almost closing at 100,000 tons for the half year, compared to 85,000 tons we did in first half last year. Non-mining has remained, largely flat from 44,000 half year last year to 46,500 half year, this year. So from a half year number, we've grown from 129,000 tons to about 146,000 tons, for H1 this year. Our net, our net cash at end of quarter is about 2,050 crores. There's net of some debt and some extra cash that we have. Gross cash is higher, but there's also some debt, working capital against that. Net cash is at 2,050 crores, and we probably expect that that will stabilize with a lot of working capital, deployment over the last 2 years, given the inflation. That kicked in and just a higher value of our working capital, of our stock. and I think all of that will also stabilize going forward. The three announcements that we've made this year, one was a supply arrangement that we've done with a company in Ahmedabad, based out of Ahmedabad, Sal Steel, and they are producers of ferrochromium. And it's like a job work arrangement, on a supply, commercially under a supply agreement. And all it does is helps us with a diversified, locks in a supply chain for us. As you all know, ferrochrome is an important raw material. They have a plant in Gujarat, and they are all set up for efficient logistics for ore, from the east of India, as well as captive power plant, allowing for an efficient cost and conversion from ore to, ferrochromium format. And this allows us, comfort of having almost a captive arrangement for production to this extent. At the peak of this arrangement, we expect to, get between 3,000 and 4,000 tons a month from them. So at which time it will be about 50-60% of our requirement, between this year and next, maybe a little more. But again, that will be determined by a host of factors. But we've had a lot of questions asking us more about it, but it's actually a simple, they needed cash infusion in that business to stabilize their operations, and they get visibility on sales of their product, while we get almost a captive producer. And this being a critical strategic raw material, we just felt more comfortable having a partner who's doing it for us. We've extended 125 crore secured, loan to them, and at a 10.5% yield. So, to that extent, we are well protected, not just on the coupon on that, but also on the security against those assets, and which will be more than adequately compensated in terms of the supply, arrangement that we're looking at. In addition to that, we are very, very excited about the mill lining plant that we commissioned, after the close of the quarter. It's a fully automated plant or significantly automated plant for the casting. As far as castings, which is other than grinding media production, I think one of the best type of plant in the world for these type of castings, which are large, custom-made. These are not repetitive parts. These are custom-made to our application, with designs that, we curate for the customer. And we are very hopeful that we'll be fully utilizing this plant over the next 3 to 4 years. We welcome all of you to come visit Ahmedabad and, have a look at the plant whenever you transiting this side. Also, there was an announcement we disclosed about Canadian Border Service, doing an assessment of the duties that they had assessed last year in 2020, end of 2020. And this assessment gets triggered when costs change materially. It is on their prerogative. And because raw material costs and other costs have changed significantly from the time that this was last assessed, this is an administrative procedure to go revisit and, assess that structure. So, we'll be fully cooperating with that. We may not be able to share more information, except that, the materiality of this market today is that we've done about 3,000 tons first half of this year. Maybe we'll do 5,000-6,000 tons per year. So to that extent, we are in the market. We may not. It's a sub judice matter again. It's business as usual for us. Duties, may change, may be in a little different format, but our business model is far above and beyond that. So we may not be able to take more questions on what it means beyond that. It's a regular assessment, and there may be more such, as costs change. And that's something that as a business, as a company, we'll be well organized to support and gear up for. From a CapEx standpoint, total this year and next will be about 480 to 500 crores. Half of that comes from a grinding media plant, about 250 crores. There's about a 20 crore spend on the liner plant, which is, which happened this year. There's another 50 crores that we plan to spend on the liner plant for supporting infrastructure, we need pattern storage, etc. We're investing about 60 crores for captive power, and about between 70 to 100 crores on balancing other infrastructure support in next 2 years. So broadly, we've got a CapEx plan of 480 to 500 crores in this year and next. We've done about 112 crores till September this year, and the plan is to do another 170 crores, you know, for the rest of the year, or, you know, some may spill over to the next year. Broadly, next 6 to 7 quarters, you know, going forward, and 2 quarters past, you know, over that 2 year period starting April 23 till March, between March and June 24, we'll do about 500 crores of overall capex. I think with that said, I'll have Sanjay Bhai just give you a brief about the markets and, you know, what we're seeing going forward. But it looks like that ferrochrome, scrap, you know, are at a peak pricing. You know, ferrochrome seen some downward adjustment, you know, over last 2-1 quarter. But it's anybody's guess which way it will go. Scrap still continues near the peak it reached sometime back. Shipping costs are volatile, but clearly trending downwards. So I think that's a good sign for us that, you know, finally, you know, these costs look to be stabilized or don't seem to go higher from here. But it's too early to say that it's going one way or the other. So I think we are on a watch and stay and play mode and be ready to absorb and adapt as costs and the situation changes. I think most of the COVID restrictions around travel are gone. I think our people are, I mean, traveling all over the place, you know, trying to go to gear back up for, you know, the whole strategy that we are trying to lay out. And between mining liner and grinding media, you know, we hope to add 30,000 tons, you know, at least going forward. We may not be able to guide on exact numbers on how far and wide that number looks like, you know, as you are aware. One last point before I hand over to Sanjay Bhai is that these, as costs will, you know, ease down, there will be a pass back on those costs. So I think long-term margin guidance, we may not, again, unfortunately, be able to offer beyond 20-22% operating margins. So please do bear with us on that. There will be quarters where we do better and we aspire to do better, but there are too many variables, as you all know, that we work with. And it's difficult for us to, you know, exactly pinpoint where those, you know, margins will ultimately reside. Okay, I'll just hand over to Sanjay Bhai and then we'll go on to Q&A.
Thanks, Kunal, and good evening to all of you. So as we can all see, it was a fairly satisfactory quarter, both in terms of the volume growth as well as the overall margins. But as Kunal has cautioned, yes, going forward, we believe that the peak level pricing has already reached. So probably there could be a little bit of softening of the raw material prices. Freight has already gone down, started going down. So we believe that going forward, we should be able to, we might see a little bit of decline in terms of average realizations, though it is a bit difficult for us right now to predict exactly how much it will be. I think the average price realization in first 6 months is around 162 rupees a kilo in terms of sales, which could be regarded to be, I think, peak, and it may go down a little bit, but as we have always maintained, it is our endeavor to ensure that the margins are protected and our absolute margins will be protected. Possibility that while there could be a little bit of downward trend on the realization, margins will be maintained. So we'll see. Margins in percentage terms also should be maintained. But current level of operating profit margins are at around 23-24%, and we are quite happy about it. Overall, the volume growth has started to kick in, as it is evident from the first 6 months numbers. We believe that we should be on track. We are on track. We feel that for about 30 to 35,000 tons comfortably per year. Overall traction is appearing to be good. Although geopolitical issues are there, but so far I think we have circumvented them and we should be able to go ahead. And as Kunal explained, this Canadian authorities, reinvestigation is more procedural rather than anything further to be read into it. And we will keep all of you posted as we cross the bridges. So broadly, we are quite on track. We are very comfortable. I think with this, let's have the Q&A moderator. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will begin the question and answer session now. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Kunal, Sanjay, congrats on very strong numbers.
Thank you.
Firstly, on the volume side, we almost have done almost 1 lakh tons in the first half in mining. So, is the growth driven by new mine additions or ramp up at the older mines only? How should one look at it?
This is new mines. The growth coming from new mines.
And any particular minerals is doing very well for any other, like say gold or copper or something, which is doing very well for us in the first half?
15,000, if its growth is not that large to really draw inside, you know, patterns from. But clearly gold and copper remain metal of interest.
Gold?
Copper and gold both.
Okay. So finally, I think now that probably we've done 146,000 tons in the first half, we probably are on track of delivering 30,000 tons incremental in this year, right?
Yeah.
And you obviously mentioned, so like relations have gone up because of this whole commodity pass on and plus shipping costs as well. But is there a benefit in this quarter that probably costs have started coming down and probably the pass-through happens with a lag, so that's why we probably had higher margin in the current quarter. Is that
absolutely? You are right that, you know, so ferrochrome is, you know, these are, a lot of these are formulae driven, and which is where I was saying that, you know, as costs reduce, there will be a downward you know, adjustment, which we'll see in the next quarter.
Okay. And on the liner side, we expect major volume to kick in from next year only, because we just, the plant is commissioned, so it probably takes some time to go to customers and showcase them, and all those things will happen. So
no, we have orders, but execution. See, what happens in mill liners is once you get the order, there's a design phase, there's pattern making, approvals, you know. So with that lag, you will see volume coming in next year. I think order, from an order standpoint, we are actually seeing growth. We've seen growth. And we've taken orders in anticipation because the plant is commissioned, right?
Okay.
Invoicing may happen, you know, next year onwards. So I think we are on track to add at least 10,000 tons per year starting this year. Invoicing may be a little lower.
You said 10,000 tons incremental volume online aside this year?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. And then probably, like I said,
invoicing may be lower,
you probably want to utilize the plant. So that growth should be extra.
Three, 4 years fully utilized, I don't think that looks too much of a challenge as of now.
Okay. And this is also a mix of domestic as well as export customers?
Largely export.
Okay.
Yeah.
And lastly, on the USD-INR realization side, how much we did for the quarter?
The realization, just 1 second.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Thanks, Ashutosh.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhavan Shah from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just a couple of clarification from the last question. You said the mill lining volume will be 10,000 metric ton this year?
No. Orders will be 10,000. Billing may be invoicing. We are just trying to give him an answer directionally, that he asked a question that because the mill got started, now you will go out and take orders. I said we've already started to get orders of more than 10,000 tons. Invoicing may not happen this year. Some of it will spill into the next year.
So, Dhaval, just to elaborate, we are already selling mill liners. Now we have shifted to this dedicated plant and volumes should go up. It will be definitely higher than annual what we did last year. Exact number may be difficult, but definitely higher than what we did last year.
Okay. So I think on an average annually we are already selling 10,000 to 12,000 metric ton, right?
Exactly.
So we are selling 18,000 to 20,000 tons mill liners last year. About 18,000 tons last year.
Okay. 18,000 tons.
Mining, these are mining mill liners that is over and above cement mill liners.
Correct. Correct. Mining mill liners, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you say cement mill liner, this is 18,000 plus you would be selling whatever it would be the cement mill liner, correct?
Correct.
So that would be another 5,000, sir?
Sorry?
That would be how much? That cement mill liner would be how much?
I don't think it's, we are not, the idea of sharing this liner tonnage is only to give a perspective that, you know, we set up a plant and just for comfort that, you know, that product will be fully utilized. We, as a practice, not sharing, you know, segmental product-wise data. It does not add to the overall understanding for the business, right? It just becomes a...
I got it. So, sir, basically, I think now the total capacity is 50,000 metric ton, total?
For mill liners, yes.
Yeah. So, basically, then we are already doing more than 18,000 metric
ton. Total capacity will be about 67. We've got existing casting plants where also we can make some quantity, you know? This is a new...
Okay.
So, Dhawan, let me summarize this. We have a dedicated plant for mining mill liners for about 50,000 tons, which has been commissioned. As we explained, last year we still did about 18,000 tons from our existing plant.
Correct.
So, now that volume will obviously be shifted to this dedicated plant, point number one.
Correct.
And what? Partly. So, see, we have that flexibility of using the dedicated plant.
Mill liner is 50 dedicated plus another 15-20 will come from the shared plant.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is don't get bogged down by that. This capacity will fully utilize in 3 to 4 years. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. And secondly, sir, that realization, like normally we had guided for at least we will be at the level of 150. So basically, this quarter is obviously exceptionally high. So at least we will maintain that 150 realization run rate or it will come down below.
That is a function of our costs, no? Cost, shipping, currency. So the average selling price is a function of a lot of other input variables and it will move in line with that.
I got it. But sir, basically, you know, till last quarter, you were saying that we were not able to pass on exactly the whole thing, right? Obviously, we would have passed on in this quarter. So I'm just saying that, is there going to be a lag effect?
No, I think, Dhawan, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you. There is a little bit of a misconception here.
Correct.
So first, let us understand our model. Our model is that we are 100% in a position to pass on the cost increase in the input cost as and when they happen with a lag of about 1 quarter in most of the cases. Many times it may go up to 2 quarters. Correct? Now, so your statement that we are not able to pass on is not a correct statement. We have said we are able to pass on even the freight costs on a full basis, shipping costs on a full basis and raw material, mainly ferrochrome and scrap. Now, what we are talking therefore that current realization of about 160 rupees average for first half is looks to be the peak because A, the shipping costs have started coming down. B, the raw material costs do not look like going up from this level, but only going down a bit. So with a lag, the price reduction will also happen. The way it happens, increase happens with a lag, reduction happens with a lag. It's a transition process which is continuous.
Correct.
Now, our price realization is a function of, therefore, the costs which are going in the input, the freight, plus the product mix. So, what is more important for you is that what is my margin? My margin has to remain comfortable and fixed. And therefore, we believe that we will be able to maintain a decent margin of 22-24% without any problem on a operating profit level. Main ek range ki baat karta hun.
Correct.
And that should happen. So, I think a better way is that You track it as a percentage more rather than a realization. Realization is just to explain दैट पास थ्रू का बेनिफिट दे रहे हैं, आ रहा है, दैट्स ऑल.
बराबर,
ओके,
परफेक्ट सर. थैंक यू.
थैंक यू.
थैंक यू. Reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, sorry to just harp upon this realization bit. Very accurately you said that, you know, we are clearly seeing the benefit in terms of the better pass-through, which is reflected in our realization, while now of late we started seeing the correction in commodities and freight costs, etc. Would it be possible to get a, you know, obviously in the second half there will be a decline in realizations because of this same aspect. But as things stand today on spot basis, what would be the gap in terms of, you know, the pass-through versus what today is in terms of spot of ferrochrome or in terms of scrap or logistics costs, etc.?
Bhumika, which is where, you know, we've already shared our long-term margin of 20-22%, and things ultimately even out at that level, right? It doesn't serve any purpose to tell you this quarter I've got 15 crores extra. Or on our next quarter, could be correct. So, I mean, the math we can do, but it does not help us because in any case, our pricing is going to be a function of my cost, right? And we aspire and we work to make sure we keep a margin, like Sanjay explained, a 20-22% margin. It does us no good to know whether next quarter will be 155 or 140. Yes, my absolute margin can change with that, but it's fate accomplished, right? I'm not going to change anything in our business to know that business, because that requires us to estimate what it will be. And the way volatility has worked out, you know, we realize it's an endless, you know, loop of trying to estimate. So you will still have to consider that we'll be at 20-22% long-term margin, and we may be a few quarters above that, a few quarters much above that, and a few below that. But you know, it will all normalize at that level. It is unfortunately all I can share.
Sure. So the other thing is, in terms of volume, we've seen a pickup in terms of the volume trajectory in the current quarter. So if you can talk about, you know, the next, you know, 1 or 2 years, how we are seeing the volume scale up, where are we in terms of trial runs, new customer acquisitions, you know, how is it kind of moving, which gives us visibility for and confidence on the volume growth trajectory as we move ahead.
So first and foremost, Bhumika, as you have seen, there is a definite increase in the level of volume growth is visible now. And therefore, it validates our statement that annually around 30,000 tons ke aaspaas ka incremental volume growth is something that we are working on. And it appears that things are falling in place. We are very, very cautiously optimistic, because that is the way we always are. We want to be. We want to be as close to the reality. The good part is that now, forget about this geopolitical issues, but overall it seems that we are on track for that incremental 30,000-35,000 odd tons minimum volume growth that we are expecting year over year. That is point number one. We have three major focused areas. One is the pure chrome ore cost advantage that we can offer because of the ferrochrome vis-a-vis forged. That part is clear, that many endeavors towards conversion of mines is happening on that. Plus, we are working very hard on DP front. We have been always cautious about this, that in our business, it always takes more time for us to convert the customer, because the mine is more concerned with the cost control rather than the benefit alone that can come on table. And therefore, it is taking time. Having said that, we are very strongly working on DP. And equally strongly working on the mill liner advantage that we are offering, both for the purpose of improvement of throughput, improvement of yields, and reduction of cost. So we believe that with this three-pronged approach, we should now see a fairly consistent trajectory. The growth can, at times in one quarter, it may appear to be a little low, in another quarter, it may appear to be a little high. Our humble request is, please track us year to year. On a long-term basis, medium to 2 to 5 years, and I think we are very comfortable. There's absolutely no change in any of the business propositions. All opportunities remain the same. Now we are able to demonstrate something on the balance sheet, and that is what we are happy about. So Let us see. We'll wait and watch.
Sure, sir. So, no, definitely it's visible. So, the basic thing is, you know, can it go ahead of that 30,000 incremental volume?
It can. It can, but we are not giving you any guidance on that. We, as and when we have more clarity, numbers will speak and we will also speak. It definitely can. But when, we don't know. Let us see.
Okay. Sure, sir. I'll come back in the question queue. Wishing you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhumika. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amarnath from Ministry of Finance of Oman. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a very good set of number ahead of what we have expected from you.
Thank you.
Of course, the market condition has helped you, as you explained. I have two questions on this. First of all, you say that your you aspire to grow 30,000 little bit here and then in year-to-year basis. So for the next 2-3 years, if we assume that this is going to be the case, do you have the adequate capacity to execute that kind of a growth for next 2-4 years?
Absolutely, Amar. So that is your first question. Should I answer that or we will take question by question?
Yes,
okay, let me answer.
I will go to the next one.
Okay. So first, as you would have seen, my rated capacity today, installed capacity today is 440,000 tons. I am operating roughly at about 70%, 72% average capacity utilization as we speak. We are also adding another 80,000 tons of brownfield expansion for grinding media, which is our core volume-based product, at the same location, that is at GIDC Kerala, which is close to Ahmedabad, and that will take me to about 520,000 tons. So today, assuming that today I reach somewhere around this year about 290 or thereabouts, and if I keep on adding 30,000-35,000 tons year over year for next 2-3 years, I'm good to go for next 2-3 years without any problem. Secondly, historically, we have been very conscious about the fact that our capacity addition does take time because we have to first get the site clearances from an environmental standpoint and then we can do the capex, etc. So we also keep on adding the infrastructure like the required land, etc. We have to buy well in advance, apply for all the permissions well in advance from an environmental or site clearance perspective, which is now very standardized for us because we have been doing this kind of brownfield expansions and the greenfield within the same area quite regularly. So we are very conscious about the fact that we can't go beyond 80-85% of the rated capacity and we have to keep on adding capacity at regular intervals.
Yeah, so in that case, your current cash accrual speed will be adequate enough to fund all those future capex requirement you are thinking about, right? Or
absolutely. So I have about 2,000 crores plus liquid or cash investments available. I have decent cash accrual position, so we should be able to take care of that.
And can you guide me, what is your current ROC?
Our current ROC, without considering our investment, is higher, but on a balance sheet basis, about 22%.
Now,
if I exclude the investments which are... Sorry?
Yeah, please correct. Yeah, please go ahead.
So if I exclude the investments or the surplus which is parked in this financial securities, then, you know, because that is typically lower ROC business, then I would be around 27-28%.
Okay, now if I connect the dots, here we are talking about a volume growth of 10-12%. I don't know about the, I have a control about my margin, which you are talking about 20-22%, with a operational ROC is between 25-28%, and most our capex is going to re-plowing back to the business. So every incremental money I am putting into my capex is going to give me an ROC above 25%, and based on the cash basis, almost no debt. That is the way we are looking into the future cash generations from your company for the next 2-3 years. Am I right?
You are right. Absolutely.
Okay, but this is a very healthy situation in the current situation, in the current scenario, I must say. Now I just have one more question relating to this cash. As you also know that this investment which is sitting in your book and your future projection of the cash, and you are in a position to fund your most of your capex using your internal accrual, and you yourselves also know that extra cash investment is lowering down your overall ROC. Do you have a plan to deal with this extra cash to return to the shareholders in different way? Or how do you deal with that? Because overall ROC is getting rushed if that cash accumulation stays increasing.
So Amar, a very pertinent question and a question which we have been very regularly facing. So one, as a company, we remain a bit conservative. And we still continue with our same old dividend distribution policy about 20%. We know that we do have surplus cash generation, free cash also coming in. However, there are two situations which we are envisaging. One, see, as we have been repeatedly telling, the headroom growth opportunity is significant. We are working on several mine conversion projects in various geographies all over the world. While we are very conservative and we are very realistic, I may use this word, in giving a growth trajectory, overall indication of 30,000-35,000 tons annually, there is a possibility, as one of the previous participants did put a question, of a more aggressive growth. In our sort of situation, therefore, there is a possibility of some significantly heavy involvement in working capital, because bulk of our sales happen through warehouses which are located all over the world, where we maintain a significant inventory. So it's tending to accretive, a little bit more working capital accretive if the growth trajectory becomes steep and we start going at a faster pace. Now, the problem is we have not reached our optimum level of sales in mining, which we believe could be anywhere between 300,000 to 400,000 tons. We're still talking about 200,000 tons sales in mining. So we're still talking of at least a couple of years where we believe that we may consider having reached a decent level of plateau and the penetration the way we want. So as a management, we want to continue remain a bit conservative in cash distribution, at least for next 1 or 2 years in the maximum situation. Having said that, in every board meeting, we are consciously discussing this. We are very alert about this. And as soon as we get the right opportunity, we will be taking a conscious view of making our distributions a bit more aggressive. But this is the conservative stance we want to maintain at least for some more time.
This is the music to our ears, sir, to hear this explanation. As a shareholder, we don't want the cash back in any form, especially when a business, while the plowing back can give me 25% return on capital employed, the things you just now said is giving us a hint that there is an opportunity to increase the growth trajectory and utilization of the extra cash within the business, which gives me more return than getting the cash back. We don't invest in a company to get the cash back. We invest in a company where the company really takes this cash and utilize and give us more ROC. And
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Just now, the cement part of your business, as we all know, last few years, cement industry has undergone very difficult time, and as well as it is cyclical business as well. But what we are hearing from different cement companies con call, that the business outlook is going to be very good in the next 1 or 2 years. Demand is increasing, pricing power is a little bit coming back. So from that side of the business, this grinding media business for cement, how is your outlook, please? If that business, okay, if you can focus, please.
So simply put, my growth in cement will be coterminous with the industry growth, which still, with all said and done, is only in a decent higher of single digit type of a growth, for the very simple reason that we have, A, the cement industry worldwide is already converted to a very large extent to the product that I am supplying, that is high chrome. Second, if you talk of India, the consumption, overall consumption of these wear parts in cement is significantly lower. So, you know, we have been talking about the overall replacement market worldwide of an opportunity of about 325,000 tons. Most of it is already converted. So therefore, when I have an overall 35% market share in this industry, ex of China, whatever the industry grows in India or anywhere else in the world, we operate in more than 125 countries and we service all the cement mills, key plants all over the world. But the consumption ratios are very low and it is already converted. Therefore, the growth will be only tepid, if I may use that expression.
So we'll grow with the market. Hi, this is Kunal. We grow with the market, and but it's anyways not material in the scheme of things now, right? We are, our non-mining business will be about 80,000 tons, 75 to 80,000 tons. Even if we grow 10%, that's 8,000 tons, right? In the scheme of things, if you're growing to, we'll be 300,000 tons this year, that's still not material, right? So all our growth coming from, or all our efforts towards growth comes from the mining market. Cement is fait accompli. If it grows, we'll automatically grow with it.
Are you getting something in China, plus advantage somewhere you are seeing it? Because you are
anyways,
across the globe. Are you getting the
anyways? Thankfully, both our industries we operate in, which is cement and mining, are local industries. So our customers never migrated to China, right? So they were anyways located all over the world. And, you know, chrome nevertheless came from ex-China suppliers, right? Us and, you know, Magotteaux and a few others. So to that extent, we are agnostic to all that's happened in China.
Thank you very much. Excellent, sir. And it's a very healthy reply you have given us a fantastic comfort. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Ujjain Shah from Congruence Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. One of my query would be, can you just, I think I have missed out the point. Can you just repeat that the secured line 125 crores of that Shah thing which we have been discussing? And it is a 3,000 crores of 3,000 tons. It's been incremental, right? From the Shah, which we have been doing.
I'll just quickly explain. One, this company is manufacturing ferrochrome in Gujarat. They have a plant where their peak capacity can go up to 4,000 tons. What we have done, we have entered into a contract with them whereby the entire capacity they are reserving for us with a minimum period of 3 years. And therefore, for us, it's a raw material security. It's a raw material security. And it's a very comfortable kind of an arrangement that we have entered into. And since they have dedicated their entire plant, we have paid them a secured security deposit, which is interest-bearing, of 125 crores at 10%, where we have taken the first charge on their entire block of fixed assets of ferrochrome and the power plant.
Okay. And then just add to this question. So if we wanted to set this ferrochrome plant, so what would be the total cost? If let's suppose we have to set up a 4,000 tons of plant currently, so could we say that the cost would be around 200 to 50 crores?
Minimum, like minimum. More actually.
Okay. So that is a very win-win situation for us, because we are giving just 125 crores at a yield of 10% and we are getting a secured raw material. That's a good situation from our side. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
We have the next question from the line of Gopal Navandar from SBI Life. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. The two questions. One, you know, the post-COVID opening up, we saw very limited traveling and all, which was restricting our long-term, volume growth outlook.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. You're sounding too low. Can you please increase the volume a little bit and talk?
Sure.
Yes, this is better, sir. Please proceed.
So, post opening up, the travel restrictions were still there, and the client conversions were delayed.
and all. So if you can just highlight how are the things on the new client conversion, travels and all.
So things are very much back to normal. Frankly, we have all forgotten about COVID. So traveling, there is no restriction. Our people are able to travel to most of the mining locations without any problem. And that is the reason why, you know, over the last 6 months, we have been sounding a little more confident about going back to the growth, your incremental volume trajectory.
Sure, sir. And one of the other element was like at on the competitive landscape because of this higher shipping cost and all. We might have lost some volume to the competition with this current reduction in the shipping cost and all. Are you winning back on the competition, on the pricing and all?
So frankly, I don't think we have lost anything significant to any competition. This is the first statement I want to make. Secondly, the endeavor is always to gain market share and to convert mines from, but current focus of competition is more on the forged players, and we are focusing on converting people from forged media to grinding media in our liners. And there, our whole equation and our whole business strategy is very different. As explained earlier, that we are talking of significant cost savings, and we are also talking of reducing the cost of ownership and making the mining operations more efficient. So that way, I think we have a superior solution. And of course, we have one major competitor worldwide, that is Magatox.
Yeah,
but that remains. That situation very much remains.
But in terms of pricing, we'll have a better competitive pricing with the reduction in the logistics cost and INR, right?
No, from a margin standpoint, which is why we're giving a guidance of 20-22%, right? It will be higher, lower, depending on the pass-through. It takes 2 to 3 quarters to pass through. But that will even out over the period.
Sure, sir. And with this current volume run rate of 78,000, out of which almost 54,050 on mining, should be a sustainable run rate?
Yes.
Sure, sir.
Very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question. That is a follow-up question from the line of Dhavan Shah from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. For one more question, like, you know, since this arrangement is there for for ferrochrome, so sir, we'll be having some benefit because of this on the gross margin also, like, let's say, getting some discount from the market pricing and all those things.
I think this is the agreement. The purpose of the agreement is supply chain protection, and you know, that's, you'll have to look at it from that standpoint.
Okay, and the annual capacity with this plant is 48,000 metric ton, correct?
And we can keep sharing more information, not material to the scheme of things, right? I think all we are trying to say is that we try to protect the supply chain by offering a secured loan, 3,000, 4,000, 2,000. I mean, these are all, there are a lot of variables linked to that, and as a practice now we are not sharing more information around it.
I got it. And secondly, sir, in terms of the other income, the current run rate of other income, what would be the forex part into the other income in this quarter?
It was about 3 crores this year, gain of 3 crores.
3 crores in this quarter, right?
Second quarter, yeah.
3 crores in this quarter. So basically, if we exclude 3 crores, rest all is kind of a sustainable other income.
There is a treasury income of about 24 crores.
20. Sir, your voice is breaking.
Yeah, there's a treasury income of 28 crores in the second quarter.
Okay. Okay. Fine, sir.
Fine.
And the tax rate would be around 23%? 22%?
The tax rate, effective tax rate is about 20-22%. Effective tax, overall tax rate, okay?
Okay, 22%. Fine, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Raja Kumar B, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I have two questions. Should I ask all at one go or?
You whatever makes you comfortable. We have no issue.
Yes. The first question is on the margin. Sorry to labor on that point. So what I understand from the call is, you are maxed out on the selling price. However, the absolute EBITDA reported will be more or less protected, and go forward, the margin expansion will come more in terms of the volume and the mix increase. Is that a fair understanding, sir?
Yes, of course. I am making it a clear disclaimer that as a matter of policy, we are not giving any guidance about the margins, but your understanding is broadly correct.
Okay, great, sir. And sir, the second question is on the, you have a subsidiary called Velcasti. So I was just looking at the numbers for this quarter. So it has come down significantly compared to the previous quarter. Just wanted to know, are we not fully utilizing the capacity in this subsidiary, and what is the kind of plan for the quarters to come?
So in the overall scheme of things, Velcasti is sort of our contract manufacturing support subsidiary. It has a facility in Bangalore. We, as you know, we are putting up significant capacities here. So it's more to be looked at, not in isolation, but in the overall scheme of things. And therefore, you know, Velcast, therefore, from that point of view, has a very limited role to play, but it's important because it's a facility in South for grinding media.
But do you plan to utilize them kind of fully in the quarters to come, or it will be more in the current?
Again, it will depend on which type of product, where, market, etc. On a totality basis,
we're not able to share plant-wise information that way.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Sir, and lastly, one housekeeping question. So I saw a 460 crore borrowing on the balance sheet side. Just wanted to know, what is that, given that you have a high cash balance?
It's a treasury investment.
The borrowing is in the nature of export credit, which we are getting at a very, very competitive rate. And therefore, as an export finance, we are utilizing it because it is to our advantage.
Okay, got it, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question. That is a follow-up question from the line of Amarnath from Ministry of Finance of Oman. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving this opportunity for the follow-up. Actually, I missed one question last time.
Please go ahead.
You said that you are going for an investment for this power plant and for your, renewable energy. Can you just elaborate a little on that by doing that, are you going to save some of your electricity and energy cost? And second related question is, how is your outlook as a company towards the ESG side? I mean, regarding decarbonization related targets and how much investment or something you are planning for that? Because the industry you are operating at an international level, the foreign investors, including us, we all look at that ESG compliant part very seriously nowadays. So if you can give a little more outlook on that side, please.
Yeah, hi. This is Kunal again. So absolutely very conscious on the ESG footprint that the company has. It's a regular feature and conversation at the board level, and which is where we started our journey for renewable power. So end of 22, about 20%, March 22, about 22% of our power, 23% of our power came from renewable sources. The idea is to take it up to 30-35%. That's how, the policy allows today. If it was our choice, we would have done all possible. There's a limitation on how much captive renewable, offsite one can set up. So we will do all that is possible within the current regulation to migrate to the renewable side. In addition to that, we moved to cleaner fuel sources like PNG for our heat treatments, which we moved away from electricity, coal-fired electricity, right? So that's as far as fuel is concerned. But outside of that, we are by and large not just compliant, but looking to do, we're doing, green plantations, etc. But a large part of a multi-order, value is what we bring on the customer side, right? We are helping customer reduce their power cost and overall reduce the amount of power, that goes into their overall system. So some of these things are in, as far as gold and copper is concerned, where our
chrome grinding media potentially reduce the consumption of reagents, which has a toxic residue, you know, or improve the recovery of gold and metal, the gold and copper. So these are the footprint that we have as far as ESG is concerned is significantly higher at the customer end, but also mindfully doing all possible as far as our doing things at our operational level is concerned.
Yeah, nice to hear. So during the process, are you going to have some financial saving due to coming out of your traditional power input to 30-35% of the renewable power? Net,
yes.
Will there be any financial saving to that?
Yeah. The captive power is always cheaper, but instead of using setting up our own coal-fired captive, we've chosen renewable. You know, which could be higher cost, but ultimately, obviously, there's a cost saving link to it, right? Because you're getting an offset from the grid power, which is more expensive than a captive source.
Yeah. So just to, if I may allow, because it is all leading to one final question too. Now, if I link all the things you said that we can increase our capacity, we can increase my capacity utilization, we increase our volume, we are using the renewable power, and as the capacity utilization increase, the economies of scale must be kicked onto it. Then if I put all the things together, then I'm supposed to get an higher EBITDA margin as all those things progressing upon. Then why we always keep that EBITDA margin range between 20 to 22%? Because, okay, at a small volume, it is okay. But as you increasing everything and economies of scale kickstart, it should reflect in a higher EBITDA margin. Does it so?
So, Amar, thanks for this question. And this is Sanjay again. Actually, see, if you look at our history, we have grown from a very small company. We were a joint venture earlier. Our whole mindset is to always remain conservative and be mindful of what we are talking. Now, you see, the whole game today is market share gaining. So, which is my biggest range of, the biggest targeted range of customers, they are all mines. These mines are extremely decentralized, if I may use this word, from a power or a budgeting standpoint. Mine manager is the boss. He works with a very close budget. In spite of all the benefits, we have to take a lot of time and efforts to convert that mine and start getting orders. So therefore, we also many times have to become very, very competitive in order to ensure that the mine manager remains comfortable. So, you know, sum total of all these factors, they make us a little conservative when we talk about an achievable operating margin range of 20-22%. Having said that, again, I'm talking of pure operating. So you remove other income, you remove FX, you remove everything. Okay. So my point is, yes, there is a potential for increase in margin. But since our entire focus today is gaining higher market share, we are very consciously sort of giving this kind of a guidance that, yes, this looks to be a long-term sustainable margin, given the fact that all this imponderables or all these variable factors we have to always face.
So, sir, now you are giving us a look that, okay, even if there is an opportunity to increase the margin, I will preferably make it within a range and use that as a weapon to gain the more market share by increasing our competitiveness in the international market, which is very competitive there. So I will gain through the volume and market share, and probably I will maintain my EBITDA at the current level and use that economies of scale to gain my more market share. That is the strategy?
Well, broadly, without taking this as a guidance, yes, that is the strategy. But we remain, we want to remain conservative. That's very important.
Thank you. That's my last
Thank
question.
You.
Thank you very Thank much.
You. Thank you. We have a next follow-up question from the line of Raja Kumar V, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the follow-up. Just one question. Sir, there is a news article that the government is trying to revive the Kolar gold fields in Karnataka. So just wanted to know, is that an immediate opportunity for AIA or you know, it's like a long term, and also what would be the potential in?
So, Mr. Raja, frankly, our market is actually worldwide. The volumes outside India are much, much larger. All our efforts are actually for mining concentrated outside India. Having said that, if any such opportunity does in fact come, we will look at it.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, operator, if moderator, if there is no other question, we can conclude the call.
Okay, sir. As there are no more questions, I would now like to hand over the conference to AI Engineering Management Team. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you all once again. And Nandabai and I remain available offline for any further clarification. Thank you so much and have a great evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. We thank you for your participation and for using Chorus Call conferencing services. You may please disconnect your lines now. Thank you. Have a great evening.